Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kelly Clarkson, and this is Miss Into Podcast.
The Kelly Clarkson Fan Podcast, talking all things, Kelly. And to you.
Here is Jeremy and Pam.
Hello, and welcome to the season 4 premiere of Miss Into Podcast, the Kelly Clarkson Fan Podcast. I am Jeremy.
And my name is Pam, and I'm here with my jazz fingers. I'm like, ooh, season 4. Hey. How fancy. hi, everyone. Season 4. That's crazy. That is crazy.
I do love that new season smell.
What does it smell like?
I don't know. Damp basement. I don't know. At least that's where I am.
I feel that. All right. So we have a... I don't even know how to describe today's episode. It apparently is Pam and Jeremy's surprise party, according to our guests today, Moni and Rob. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello. I was wondering what that smell was. Turns out it's a new podcast smell.
New podcast smell. So just to give a little bit of backstory, I cannot explain what today's episode is because the two of us really have no idea. But I'll give you the backstory. Backstory, we were in Vegas a few weeks ago. And Moni was like, you know, I'd love to like do some sort of like reflection episode because you guys have done so much recently. And we're like, okay, like, sure. Like, we'll do it whenever. And Rob was there in the conversation. So the two of them were just kind of scheming. And they've just been scheming for a bit now. so that's really all I know. It's super vague, but yeah.
I believe the phrase I used was, I believe that we need to give you therapy, Pam. And that's what this is going to be.
I'm already in weekly therapy, so now maybe I need even more. I mean, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. When I found out that they were doing this episode, we've been told very little about what they have planned, but what we have been told was, like what Moni said, is that it's going to be a little therapeutic. But in my head, I thought they're going to pull a fast one on us and it's going to turn into like a roast. And I was like mentally preparing myself for that.
That's a great idea.
Such a great idea. And based on something that is in the works still, that actually might be a good way to bring it back, Rob. I don't know. We can scheme later.
What?
Oh, hey.
Hey.
Stay tuned for part 2.
What does that mean?
All right. Yeah. Now you got Pam like on her anxiety.
Oh, God. I already have too much of it. Anyway, before we get into any of this, there is some very, you know, topical thing. One big thing that we are going to be talking about briefly. And it is Kelly's brand new song called Roses that dropped this past Friday.
Yeah, I got to say, I appreciate Kelly for going, for the most part, dormant while we were on our little mini hiatus. There really wasn't much to talk about in the way of news out of her camp. I mean, right before we finished up our last season, we had found out about the new deluxe CD, which is coming out on September 22nd. And from there really wasn't anything else that was going on until the Friday before we start recording season 4. She drops Roses, and it's one of 5 new songs that are included on the Chemistry Deluxe, in addition to 3 other songs, one of which being Mine that was recorded at the Belasco Theater, and then the 2 remixes that we got prior to the release of Chemistry. So we've already heard now half of everything that's coming out on the Deluxe. I imagine that this is going to be all that we hear before the Deluxe is released. I don't think they would want to keep kind of doing like what they did prior to the release of Chemistry, because I think by the time Chemistry came out, we had heard 5-6 songs. So I don't think they're going to do the same thing for the Deluxe. But again, as always, everything I say that's not going to happen, it does the exact opposite. So I may be eating my words by Friday.
Yeah. I love the song. I think it's really cute. But at the same time, I kind of get why, Moni, we were just talking about, I like kind of get why it wasn't on the standard version, not because of like good or bad, more because it just didn't seem like it fit sonically. Moni, that's what you were thinking too?
I think so. I think that it also doesn't have the same, I think, punch that the rest of the album seems to have. Like each song that's on the standard edition has like a certain, even Chemistry, the very, very mellow song, has like a very strong emotion attached to this one. She sounds kind of tired, and I think that's the point in Roses. But yeah, I feel like maybe the emotion was not lacking, but just a different wavelength than the rest of the album.
Now we say that, and then I also think that this is actually one of the more, And I say this coming from the radio world, this is one of the more radio friendly songs. Not to say that there aren't other radio friendly songs on the standard album, but this one is actually, I can hear this one in between the new Olivia Rodrigo or a Dua Lipa song, you know, on like a, you know, on like a top 40 or a hot AC station. So
Absolutely. We
haven't heard anything yet. And this is something, you know, that I kind of did a little bit of legwork on late last week when the song came out, is that from what I can see, this song has not been serviced to radio at all. So there is probably a chance that it's not going to be an actual radio single, and that in releasing the song on Friday, it was more of just the gratis track that you're going to get to sort of promote the fact that there is a deluxe edition coming out. They may not necessarily be putting it out as an actual radio single. And I got to say, you know, for a while there, we were talking about, well, you know, maybe they're just waiting for Mine to finally die down. That song is dead. I checked the spins. Like, there have been all but 50 spins on that song in the month of September as of like Friday. I can't remember what day that was, the 6th or something. But that song is done. Mine is done. It is all but off the radio now. There is a wide open lane for a new single to come out, whether it be Roses or another song from the original version of the record. So I don't know if this one is actually going to be a single per se, but I actually wouldn't hate it as a single, Pam.
No, I think it has so much potential, and it's another one of those things that's like, it sounds like it would fit really well on the radio, but it doesn't sound like everything that's out there right now.
Yeah.
I like it. It kind of like it's given like some like older Kelly vibes there a little bit, mm-hmm. which I always love. If we're going to like dissect the song very briefly, I don't know. I feel like, Jeremy, you probably know the song. I don't know if a lot of our listeners do. The very beginning, how it's like very like kind of broken down with just the guitar, mm-hmm. that melody and that like production reminds me of Lightning Crashes by Live. Do you hear that?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I get that.
It came to me about a half hour ago because like it's been bugging me the last 48 hours. I'm like, what song does this sound like? That part, it sounds like Lightning Crashes, and it's kind of cool. It's like a nice little nod to, you know, mid 90s rock.
It's got this nice little distortion on the guitar, and we hear it at the end too when it sort of plays out. I hadn't really compared it to any other song, but the minute you say that, I absolutely hear the comparison to the two in my head.
I'm a millennial, and I was hearing like Khalid Halsey vibes.
Okay.
The song they did with Benny Blanco, just kind of the very mellow vibes about it.
Down. What's it called? Something like that.
East Side.
East. I knew it was a direction.
Yeah. Okay. And then like throw in some like loose like production Bieber vibes too, not like sonically, but you know what I mean. So anyway.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting.
Rob, your thoughts?
That's the thing. Like, it's so hard to pinpoint the genre of this song, because like it starts off sounding like early 90s grunge. It's got like this cool like R&B groove throughout, mm-hmm. you know, it's like it's mid-tempo, but it's not a ballad. It's so different for her, and it also sounds a lot like when she was trying to describe the sound of this album, the sort of like stronger meets Meaning of Life vibe that she said was on this album is totally on this song and not necessarily on the rest of the album. But on this song, I totally hear that sort of like, if something from Stronger met with like, would you call that love? It would be something like this, with like just angrier, biting lyrics.
I like that. I had forgotten that she had made that comparison between those two albums. And again, now that you say that out loud, I totally hear that this is a very good mixture of both of those records.
Yeah. I really like the pre-chorus. I think that's weirdly like my favorite part. The pre-chorus, mm-hmm. The but last week I would have caved part, like that whole, I love the way she sings it. I love the melody. And of course, like the chorus, I feel like that's going to be so much fun to sing live. Like whenever you hear it live, whenever that might be, maybe the Today Show. Fingers crossed. I think this is like a really good, like it's a good anthem, not like a Since You've Been Gone Stronger kind of anthem, but it's still like a really good, like sing along song.
Yeah, the alliteration that's going on in the song, and just, I mean, the chorus is so great. I mean, I think the line that most people have been really latching on to is it's too late for diamonds. They all come with chains. I mean, that's,
that is
really, really great storytelling and just a really great metaphor. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love the hook on this song or the chorus. It's just, it's really, really great. And I understand and I agree with the sentiments that this doesn't sound sonically like the rest of the main album and that it wouldn't really sound right with it. But I almost feel bad that this song doesn't sound like the rest of the album because it should have been on the rest of the album. Now, when everybody else hears, you know, the rest of the songs that are coming out on the deluxe, I mean, they're going to have more of a like deluxe sound, if you know what I mean. Like, you know, when we hear like the songs on the deluxe piece by piece or stronger, you're like, oh yeah, you know, okay, I understand why they put this on the deluxe. We always have that like one song where we're like, oh my God, this should have been on the like on the original. This could very well be that one for this record.
Yeah, like notoriously, I feel like Kelly deluxe tracks are always incredible. So it's always puzzling why they're deluxe, but it's usually just because they don't fit in with the rest. But
they're the ones that got away.
They're the ones that got away. Seriously.
They're almost like they're usually, I think this is like an episode you guys or a question you guys did once that I asked, which is like, it almost sounds like some of those deluxe tracks were like meant for another album she had in mind, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like a whole different direction. Like, why don't you try or whatever? Like, just like so different than the rest of it and clearly could have been its own album. Like that sound could have been its own album.
All right. So, Pam, any other final thoughts on Roses?
I like it. And if this is the direction that we're going to possibly get for the rest of the deluxe, I'm very excited to hear it. Regardless, I'm excited to hear it. But I think like we're in for a treat if it's going to be anything remotely like this. So
yeah,
it's only a matter of time. It's only going to be, I don't know, what, a week and a half?
Yeah, so, at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
11 days.
There you go.
Less now because it's Tuesday.
Exactly.
That's right. Yes. all right, so that's Roses, and that's really everything that Pam and I had prepped for this episode this week.
Yep.
So we had promised you when we talked about the season premiere episode that we were going to do something a little bit different. We were going to have some special guests. Obviously, Moni and Rob are our special guests today, and we are handing over hosting duties for the remainder of the show. And from here on out, we have no idea what's coming. And I am now just going to sit on my hands and and anticipate in fear what's coming. So
I'm actually nervous right now.
So with that, we would like to hand it off to Moni and Rob. You guys have the floor.
Psych! Episode's over. We just wanted to get your anxiety built.
I'm told. Bye. Okay. See you.
It worked.
Okay. So Pam explained it pretty well in the intro, but I'm a proponent of therapy. And
me too.
And honestly, this is just, I just need to find ways to be on this podcast is what this comes down to. the story actually goes back a little further. So when I did the industry episode with them in February, I was thinking to myself, we probably need to do a follow-up, like reflect on what the promo cycle was like. And then the writer's strike happened and everything we talked about and then Vegas happened. So like nothing we talked about was relevant at that point. So then when we were in Vegas is kind of when like, I just thought, you know, Pam and Jeremy are really humble people and they have just had the most bonkers 5-month period for this podcast and we need to celebrate it. Like we need to force them to celebrate it because they really deserve it. And so basically, you know, like Jeremy doesn't like to admit he's flexing. This is a flex episode, guys. And that might be the name of this episode is the flex. And so that's kind of where I was headed. And then when I mentioned it to Rob kind of had some thoughts.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about sort of the show as a whole and like give people like a glimpse at like all the work that goes into it, because you two work really hard for something that's just a passion project. And if you had hosted an episode, like a retrospective episode yourselves, it would have been so self-serving and you would have had such inflated heads that like we had to be here.
And you know we wouldn't have done it because I would have been like, no, we can't do that, we're gonna look like assholes. So
yeah, Pam would have shot it down.
I would have immediately shot that down.
Well, It's like Kelly always saying she doesn't sing her own songs because she feels like a tool. I feel like that's how you guys are about it. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, you know that show from the 50s, This Is Your Life?
No.
Yes.
Yes. Well, Pam is young.
None of us were around in the 50s. What are you talking about?
I know. But like, some of us watch like Nick at Night. But
I have the internet.
Exactly. This is like a, or at least my part is like a Jeremy and Pam, this is your podcast. Like a look back at like the last 3 years.
Oh my God.
And like to talk a little bit about like the history and like all the work that you, that's gone into it since the beginning.
I just want to preface that again, like we really didn't know what to expect, but Rob did text me a few days ago. Wait, I want to pull up the exact text. Give me one moment. Okay. So this is the text that Rob sent me. If there are children listening, cover their ears. If you don't fucking cry, I'll never speak to you again. So that's what, right, Rob told me about this episode. So I have to cry, apparently.
Oh boy.
I'm going to Oprah you.
And then I was like, are you going to give me a car? Not quite.
Not in the budget. Okay. Not in the budget just yet.
Yep.
All to say that like the last 6 months couldn't have happened without the last 3 years. So looking back on the podcast as a whole, I want you to like take a little time machine, a little time travel back to what your initial goals might have been for the podcast. Because I know that Jeremy really had lofty goals and could see like a 5-year plan or a 3-year plan. And Pam was just like, maybe somebody might listen. So talk a little bit about the beginning and like what your dreams might have been.
Jeremy, I'll let you start because this really was this, like I would have never done this on my own. I know this was a lot of you driving this idea.
And you know, I had been thinking about the podcast off and on for a long time, long before it ever actually came to fruition, kind of when I first sort of learned what a podcast could really do. And I just thought, oh, that'd be, you know, kind of fun to do something about Kelly. And then years and years later, we get to the beginning of the pandemic. And by the time that, you know, July and like early August sort of rolled around, I was like a lot of other people. I hadn't been going anywhere. I'd been sort of stuck in my house. I had pretty much watched to the end of Netflix. And so I was like, I need something. I need some sort of a creative outlet to save my sanity. And that's when I sort of started kicking around that idea again about the podcast in my head. And I think, and Pam, you'll have to,
I remember where wrong. I know where, what happened from here.
Okay. Cause I was gonna say, I think I put a tweet or a Facebook post or something out about
it. Was a Facebook post. Would anyone listen? Would anyone be interested in just listening? That sort of thing.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I was just like, okay. And then I kind of did a little bit of research in the background and I looked up musician podcasts to see if there was anything out there. And there really wasn't a lot. There wasn't a lot. I mean, there was a lot of music podcasts and, you know, plenty of things that broke down all different genres and styles of music, but there wasn't anything that broke down an individual artist. I mean, there were a couple and it was primarily for like really, really big artists. You know, I think there were a couple of Taylor Swift podcasts. There was a Beyonce podcast. I think there were some Dave Matthews Band podcasts. And the reason I can say those off the top of my head is because I just literally looked at my CD collection and I was like, okay, what are some artists that I think are really, really big that might have a podcast? So there might be other, there might be a John Mayer podcast or, you know, a, you know, whatever. Suffice to say, there was a window there that I was like, there isn't a lot of artists podcasts and there certainly is not a Kelly Clarkson podcast. And so I put out this Facebook post and lo and behold, this woman who has, well, you know, been a friend, were we even Facebook friends at that point?
Yeah. So we like knew each other. Like we were, you know, we would like comment on each other, like, or, yeah, you know, like each other. It was very surface level. Mm-hmm. If I'm being completely honest, very surface level. You and I had never had like a formal conversation before, aside from just like a Twitter exchange. But we have a lot of mutual friends, so whatever, it made sense. So I remember I messaged you on Facebook privately. I was like, hey, if you ever want like a guest on to talk, like I'd love to come on sometime, LOL. and then you were like, well, as a matter of fact, I was thinking I want a co-host and you came to mind first because, I mean, with my music experience.
Yeah, because at the time you were in artist management.
Yeah. So I don't remember what I said. I don't even want to look back on our Facebook messages because it's probably so cringe.
I was going to say, I'm actually scrolling through our Facebook messages to see
there's
if there's
probably
any...
not much because we don't talk there. It's you'll probably find it pretty quickly.
Oh, it's like a Tinder meet. Tinder it's match.
This is so much more therapy than even I was thinking, Rob. They're already going through messages. And, oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Good
I love
Lord.
It.
We're so good.
Are you still looking? Are you still looking?
I'm still looking. In fact, I'm at I'm in July of 2020. I sent over the very first image of the podcast cover photo.
So we thought of this a lot earlier.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it was July, August that we started kind of kicking this around.
Can I make a confession?
Yeah.
It took me a very long time to realize that picture wasn't real, Jeremy.
Jeremy, you did a good job photoshopping.
That's good.
Thank you. Yeah.
The photo of me is from when I was 19. I totally look the same, right, guys?
Totally.
Totally.
Okay, so I've reached the very beginning of Pam and my Facebook messaging, and I think you might have commented that you would be interested in being a guest.
Okay.
And then so I messaged you. So in other words, I reached out first.
Okay.
Technically. And I said, with your industry knowledge, you wouldn't be guest. You'd be my first choice to co-host. And you said, I'm honored. I do this in a heartbeat. My only podcast knowledge is actually getting them up on DPSs, which I guess is important.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's like getting them up on like the Spotify's of the world. Wow. I was actually on board. That's surprising for me. I thought I'd been like, no, I can't do it. Yeah. Wow.
This was July 27th of 2020.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's how it started.
Write it down, friends. The anniversary, July 27th.
That's when we flew to Vegas this year.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Right.
Wow. Look at that's so strange.
Three years later after the idea, we were on a plane to Las Vegas.
So anyway, that's the origin story. So that's how that happened. And I don't know, the rest is history. So Jeremy, I guess I don't even think you actually answered the question. Yours was about goals. Your question was about goals.
Yeah. So you're like, right. You're right. How does that evolve? How does that evolve? Like, what goals were there once you started recording?
I think I just wanted an outlet to talk about something that I was very passionate about. I think at the very beginning, and I'm even looking at like, I mean, I wrote to Pam a lot of my ideas and such.
Look at that.
Oh yeah. I mean, if we need ideas for episodes, we need to go back because I wrote down like 15 of them right away. We got to make sure that we did all these ideas. But oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I promise I'm going to answer your question about goals, but now I'm to the part where I said any idea for show names. So if I find rejected show name ideas, I might have to tell them. Pam is actually the one who asked about show names. And the first one I said, not yet. I keep calling it Kelly Cast, but I don't know if I'm sold on it.
Kalegend
was another one that Pam threw out.
Oh God.
Okay, here we go. Here's the list. Pod So Soft. Pod X Pod, the Kelly Clarkson fan cast / podcast.
What?
Oh, like piece by piece.
Yeah. Okay. Pod by pod. Okay, got it. Our podcast would suck without you.
Oh God! These
are absolutely real. These were all intended names for the podcast. Since You've Been Pod, Missing the Podcast, Kelly Cast, the Kelly Clarkson Fan Cast, a podcast like this. And then I said, personally, Missing the Podcast cracks me up.
I don't know. Since You've Been Pod is pretty good, but there's something like Missing the Podcast.
And then Pam, and after something else, like equipment related, Pam wrote, I love Missing the Podcast. And there it was.
Okay.
Whew. Okay. So goals. I just, like I said, I just wanted a creative outlet. I wanted to talk about something that I was passionate about, that I knew a little something about. At the very, very beginning, I didn't have any sort of delusions of grandeur. I mean, again, going back to, and what we ought to do is we might have to screenshot some of this stuff and post it with the like promotional stuff with our episode this week. I don't think I had any delusions of like, oh, we're going to get Kelly on the podcast. Although I will say in our early chats, it would be really great to get Kelly on the podcast. So the idea was there, but I wasn't going to think that, you know, in the first few weeks we were going to have her on the show. I knew I wanted to talk to fans, because between Pam and I, you know, I sort of knew the whole of the Midwestern sort of fan consortium, and Pam knew of the whole East Coast fan base. So I knew that we were going to have plenty of people to pull from and to tell stories. I mean, I knew people like, you know, Melissa in New York and Allie down in Texas. Like I knew they would have a million stories. And Allie has been very resonant to come onto the show. So we still need to get Allie on the show. I don't think it's ever going to happen.
We'll try.
Yes. But I just wanted a creative outlet. I wanted something to do, somebody to talk to that shared the same passion. And I knew that this was going to be, you know, something that that could do that, at least scratch that itch.
Yeah. And that's kind of similar that I was, but like I definitely wasn't as confident that we would actually get like Kelly on here or even the band. I was like, maybe one day we'll get a band member if they want to sacrifice 30 minutes of their time. Like I definitely like downplay, which is something I'm trying to work on in therapy right now. Yeah, I definitely lean towards more of the like realistic, like not going to happen side. And Jeremy's definitely more of the optimist out of the two of us. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to work on that. But yeah, for me, it was really just trying to get a lot of just to meet more fans and to hear more stories. And also just for me to get like an outlet out. And I have all this useless knowledge in my head of random Kelly factoids. So I'm like, let me just like get that out there. And like I had experience with like running Kelly fan stuff before. Like I used to have like our friend Chelsea and I used to run a big Kelly Tumblr account back in the day. So like I was able to meet people that way. So I knew it was just for me, like it's always just a matter of like meeting new fans from all over the world. It's always so much fun, no matter if you meet them in 2007 or I met them last week. It's just still so fun to meet people who have the same passion as you. So that was really my big goal, was just to like get the outlet out there and have a community and talk with like-minded people.
Okay, so the show starts, you start getting momentum, you find your groove or whatever. And I know that from a listener perspective, from like us as outsiders looking in, the Jason being on the podcast for the first time was the big like
yes
moment, right?
Yes.
Like a big highlight, like a made it moment for you, like when you felt like you made it. But aside from Jason, or maybe Jason, but aside from that, what was a moment that you felt like, wow, people are glomming onto this, people are listening? Like, when did you start to feel like it was becoming something?
That would have been my answer. I think, you know, Jason coming on here, I think really he, you know, kind of gave us the opportunity to reach out to other people. And mm-hmm. it was kind of the like, oh, like if Jason can do it, like maybe we can actually reach out to other people and maybe they will come on. And I've had people come up to me like unapologetically and they're like, yeah, I pretty much only listen to like band interviews with you guys. And I'm like, all right, whatever. I'll take it. It's fine. So like,
it's fine.
I think honestly, getting people in her camp, no matter who they are, whether it's band or any sort of other crew, I think that was kind of I think either that or people asking to be guests. That also, no, like I can't think of a specific one, but people who are like, can I come on the podcast? I'm like, sure. And now we get a bunch of people being like, can we come on? And I'm like, email us, we'll add you to our list. Which having a list, we have a list of like 30 people right now. Like what? They want to talk to us? They want to talk to me? So that was kind of it. Just in that in general. So I don't know if it was exactly one specific moment.
No, yeah, that's perfect.
I think mine was, there was one moment that I had even prior to the launch of the podcast where we sort of went live. We sort of unveiled the fact that the podcast was coming and we put our socials out there, and to watch modestly our social numbers go up. You know, I think we maybe had 100 followers on Twitter before we ever even, I think, put out an episode. And it was the fact that that proved that there was an appetite for what we were going to do.
Yeah.
And that made me very excited. And at the same time, incredibly anxious because I thought, crap, people actually want to hear this. We can't screw this up. And so that was sort of the first moment of like, oh, this might actually be a thing. Now we completely understand and we know our place sort of in the world. Like, we're not out here trying to be, you know, like the next Dax Shepard podcast or whatever, getting, you know, millions of listens, you know, every week. We know that we talk about a very narrow subject. You know, there's only so many people who love Kelly Clarkson enough that they're going to listen to a weekly podcast about her. We understand that. We're not delusional thinking that this is going to be, you know, the greatest thing ever. But at the same time, it was just the fact that the community that there was embraced us so quickly, or, you know, right off the bat, but without, you know, hearing anything. And so that, I think, sort of made me decide that I really wanted to make sure that this was the best product that we could put out. And I'm, you know, I'm a perfectionist as it is when it comes to my radio stuff. So I want to make sure that it sounds good, or it sounds as good as it can, and that it's edited well, and that it's compelling, that people actually want to listen to the stuff that we're talking about. And we're not just, you know, rambling on, you know, to hear ourselves talk, which I have been accused of doing, which, fair. But yeah, I mean, I think, and I can't remember, and Pam, you're gonna have to correct me. Was it Jason or was it Aben that we had first?
Jason.
Okay. So I remember we didn't want to ask anybody to be on the show for a while.
Yeah.
You know, and then we sort of like got the nerve and we sort of, you know, typed out these really professional sounding like requests, you know, things. And then we're like, oh, we actually have to go through a management company to get to this person. Okay. Well, then we go and write this really professional sounding, you know, email to a management company. And, you know, and then when we got Jason, I mean, I think Pam and I like celebrated for days. And then, you know, we actually did the interview and we felt like we did a good job. And then the reaction to it was so great. And then it was funny because the first interview that we did with Jason was the one where they were in the process of recording When Christmas Comes Around.
Oh, yeah.
And so in the background in his office was the Christmas tree. And we found out after we had already recorded the episode, they were like, hey, do you do video or is it just audio? We're like, oh, it's just audio. And they're like, oh, okay. Well, make sure if you post any pictures from the episode that you edit out the Christmas tree. And I think it was Jason himself that asked us, can you edit out the Christmas tree behind me? Because that's not supposed to be public knowledge. And that was the first time that I was like, oh my God, we have insider knowledge. And then there was also a point during the episode where he sort of like was like, you know, projects we may be working on.
Yeah,
and he sort
pointing.
Of points to the Christmas tree. And I remember thinking to myself, we have been given privileged information. Now, it was so minute and so minor that, you know, whatever, but we felt like, oh my God, we're on the inside.
We're getting trusted with this information.
And we then followed up by, and I did a Photoshop job and edited out the Christmas tree and we made no mention whatsoever. And I think it was, you know, that was the beginning of building up trust with Camp Kelly that, you know, has sustained itself, you know, all the way to where we are now. And so, I hope I'm answering your question, but yeah, I think it was, you know, it was the initial launch of the podcast and people following us right away, sight unseen on social. And then I'll agree with Pam. It was probably the Jason episode that, you know, really made me feel like we have something here.
Speaking of made it moments, I'm actually going to read off a list of what's happened in the last 6 months. And I don't want anyone to interrupt me until the end. and I feel like these are all made it's, but if they're not, you guys are just too full of yourselves and whatever. All right. So we're going to start with the Kelly Clarkson Show Mind Reaction video. They got reached out to by Atlantic/ the talk show, or probably both. I don't know. And then they got flown out by Atlantic Records to go to the Belasco. They met in person for the first time. That was crazy. That was the first time they met podcast fans IRL. Also crazy. And then after the Belasco show and the delirious recap episode recorded at 2 a.m., they managed to somehow interview multiple members of the band, Jason, Jesse, Kyle, Rachel, Robert, and one other person I cannot remember the name of. Social media shout outs, you know, you were shouted out just the podcast, and then Pam got a birthday shout out, all of which are from Kelly Clarkson, if I needed to remind anybody. They were surprised. They got to surprise interview Kelly Clarkson. I mean, I don't really know if I should keep going, but I feel like I have to. Then Pam somehow ended up on a karaoke stage with me, Rob, and Kelly Clarkson. And then Kelly signed Pam's vinyl, Heart You, Pam, Kelly. And then they went to their first live episode in Las Vegas, and they got to meet fans from Britain and Germany. What? And then, of course, it culminates in a shout-out from Kelly Clarkson on the Vegas stage while you guys are dead center. So I can barely breathe after reading that whole long list. Just very cursory thoughts before I get into some questions from both of you. I'll start with Pam.
I'm going to cry during this episode.
Yes!
It is definitely going to happen. It's not happening right now, but it is 1,000% going to happen. It's really nice to hear this from someone else, because when I like think back on everything that we've been able to experience the last couple months, it's hard for me to appreciate it, just because like I know it's all really great things, don't get me wrong, but like I have not been in the best mental state. So I'm just like, oh yeah, these are great, amazing. And then I don't know, I just like I kind of like downplay it. I also like never want to come across as I'm like gloating. So I always try to like downplay like everything in my life. So it's really nice that like to hear this from someone else and being like, yeah, like you're allowed to be proud. You're allowed to like, you know, you've accomplished a lot, and that's really cool. And I'm not being an asshole for being happy about it. So it's been, and also when you put it in a full list, it really makes me like, holy shit, there's been a lot going on, rather than just a little like moments here and there. It's been really special. And I never in a billion years thought any of this would have happened.
Jeremy.
For me, you know, one of the biggest ones is one that you actually didn't even list, and I don't blame you at all for it. But it's the one that's probably the most important to me. And that was that we hit 100,000 downloads of the podcast. And that one means the most to me, because that was something that we had absolutely no control over. And I understand that there are moments that you listed off that we didn't have control over either, but that one is because of everybody who listens. You know, this podcast would have ended in a few short weeks if we had looked at the download numbers and been like, oh, you know, we're getting like 20 people, you know, is the work to grief ratio worth it? You know, are we busting our butts for, you know, just our friends listening to this and nobody else? I mean, because while yes, it was a passion project and we wanted to do it to, you know, have something to do during the pandemic, we also wanted to do it because we want people to listen to it. We wanted people to be exposed to it. And the fact that, you know, we got 100,000 downloads of the podcast, and I go back to my earlier statement, there are big podcasts out there that get 100,000 in a week, and that's a light week for them. Again, we're a very niche and like specific subject. So 100,000 wasn't going to come quickly nor easily. And I credit that to all of the awesome, awesome people who listen to this show and who have embraced us and allowed us to become a voice for the fan base. These are not my words. This is something somebody said to me in Vegas, and I apologize. I wish I can remember who said this to me, but they said, you really have become the voice of the fans with the band. Like, you are our voice when you talk to the band. And that title sort of hit me hard later on after I got to really think about it, because I thought, we just happened to have a large platform and microphones. And, you know, ever since that was told to me, I take this so much. I mean, I took it seriously before. I take it so much more seriously now, because I don't want to let a single person who listens to our show down when it comes to trying to bring the fans closer to Kelly and her career. And that meant the most to me, that 100,000 times people chose to listen to us and what we had to say. And I think that was a testament to the work that Pam has put into the podcast, the work that I've put into the podcast, and, you know, the work that other people have helped us with. I mean, we do not get here on our own. We did not do this just me and Pam. You know, this was a lot of people.
Including you too.
Yes, including you two. And really, I'm throwing everybody in who's ever listened. I mean, if you've ever listened to this show one time, you were a part of where we are today. And that, I mean, that 100,000 thing, you know, really meant the world to me. And I'm still very, very proud of it. And, you know, I honestly, and I apologize, I keep going off on like tangents here, but I have to admit, and not everybody knows this because not everybody's, you know, sort of on my like social media inner circle, but I didn't talk publicly about this podcast until a couple of months ago. So I'd been doing this for over 3 years and nobody knew what was going on in my life. And they didn't know that I had this whole other world that I was attached to. I mean, there was like a maybe 3 or 4 people that I worked with at my job that knew what was going on. And obviously my family knew what was going on. But I kept it all quiet because I was like, you know what? I got so much ridicule over the years for being a older male Kelly Clarkson fan that I didn't want to hear it. You know, I didn't want to hear the comments, you know, the snide remarks, that sort of thing. And then I finally just said, you know what? Screw it. I'm really proud of this podcast. I am really proud of the community. And I'm going to bring that up a lot more throughout whatever this ends up being. The community that we have built with this podcast, which is another thing that I'm incredibly proud of. I don't care who knows what I'm doing. And so I found, and especially because it was in the midst of this like 6 months of just unbelievably out of body experiences that we were having, we were in the midst of that. And I'm like, I want to tell people that, you know, I got flown out to LA to see Kelly and, you know, I did this and I did this. And the reaction that I've had from close friends and family has been completely opposite of what I thought it was going to be. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, good for you on that Kelly Clarkson podcast you're doing. That's awesome. Like, tell me all about it. Like, how
I've
do I find it?
The exact same thing. People were like, thought it was so weird that I was such a big fan of someone, especially someone that like, you know, isn't Taylor Swift or Britney Spears. I don't know. Someone, you know, and I'm like, and that I've just, it's been like this for 20 years. And I used to just get a lot of crap for it because it was something different. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. How dare you be a fan of a non-controversial, fully clothed pop star?
How dare I, right? And then once good things started happening to me, people were like, I know this sounds crazy, but they were like, oh my God, that's so cool that you're still a huge fan and she knows you and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, it's a weird thing, but people all of a sudden are now like, oh, we're so proud and it's so cool what you're doing. And I don't know. I don't really know where I'm getting at with this, but I guess it's the same thing where I kind of they got to a certain point where I was just like, screw it. I'm just going to lean into what I like and I have to stop listening to other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. The community part, Jeremy, we will get back to in spades. It actually turned into more of a community episode than we even realized initially. But we'll get back to that. Before we get too deep and too much like storytelling, which we definitely want to do here in a second. A couple silly questions. Which of the above things that I mentioned made you feel like you were being catfished? Like, which one were you like, that's a trick?
Well, the Kelly interview, Jeremy definitely thought we were getting catfished way more than I did. I was like, no, wait, I think it really might be Carrie. I think it really might be her. Either that or the getting flown to LA. I was like, what? Like,
are we really getting what they're saying?
Yeah, I was like, Jeremy, I don't think we're paying for our flights.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I remember the text that I was getting from you. You were very like vague and like you just didn't seem like completely convinced it was happening. Like until we were all like at our separate airports texting each other that like we actually had tickets and we were actually flying to LA. I feel like there was so much skepticism. You're like, I haven't told anyone. I'm like really paranoid and like.
I kept it so quiet.
I feel like anytime we get ready to interview a band member, I'm always like, oh, they're going to cancel. They're going to cancel on us. We're not high on their priority list. You know, they don't care. They're going to bail on us. And every single time they show up and every single time we have a lovely conversation with whomever it is. And it's just, the fact that they keep showing up for us is the part that still blows my mind.
Yeah, no, I imagine you probably still kind of get very confused when Jason Halbert's like text message pops up on your phone from time to time, whenever that it happens to be. I bet you're probably just like, this has to be fake.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there was, like I was saying earlier, you know, before when we ever wanted to talk to Jason, we had to go through, you know, his management and, you know, it was a very like official chain of events. And then it got to the point where I was walking out of Target one day And I get a text message from, you know, Jason Halbert pops up my phone. He's like, hey, I got some stuff to talk about. Can I be on the show? And I'm like, what is my life? Like, what? How did we get here? You know? And because I'm like, what is Jason doing thinking about this podcast? Like, he's got so many other more important things to think about. And he thought about us in that moment and said, you know, I think you guys should hear what I have to say. And we're like, well, of course. I mean, when are we ever going to say no?
That's like when we were, I don't think we actually told anyone this, like when we were in Vegas and he just like sat down, had a drink with us. I was like,
yeah, sat there for what was like 45 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
Out at the little, that little bar right outside of the front doors. We sat there and there was a group of us. There were people who were there that can attest to this happening.
Sure.
Rob
did.
Was one of them. Happened. Rob was one of them.
And it wasn't a tequila induced hallucination. It happened.
It was like, what? So it was, it was just kind of like, what is our life? What is it?
Yeah. Yeah. And just, you know, and Pam and I just have so many pinch me moments that, you know, it just, it all feels like, you know, we're just, it's all just one long, long game of punked.
Seriously.
Yeah. I would feel that way daily if that was my life. And then the other one that just kind of involves the fans a little bit, and hopefully other than the Kelly episode, I feel like that would be the most obvious one. Which of the above events got like the, like what, when you got started getting texts about, it was like the fastest that you started getting texts about a certain event having happened, like from your inner circle of fans?
Yeah, we've always gotten really nice comments whenever we have somebody on, especially for the first time. I mean, we, you know, getting Jason on for the first time was a huge get. The first time we had Jesse on, people were really, really excited. I don't think Jesse understands just how beloved she mm-hmm. is in the fan base. And so when we had her on, I mean, she became our biggest episode ever until we had Kelly. So, you know, she, you know, that was a big get for us.
Oh, I mean, I think this is going to be a real selfish answer. Probably when that really random birthday shout out happened. That
oh,
one
yeah.
on Instagram oh, yeah. a few months ago, I was like, what the hell? So that was kind of just like, bam! I'm like, I don't know what's going on, you guys. I don't know. Yeah. So that was probably it.
I have to admit to you, Pam, that, and I'm not saying I might not still do this, but I really, really wanted to come to Vegas and I was going to design a shirt that was going to, okay, this is going to be a very like inside baseball type of like, reference, but do you remember the Spotify sessions when she played like a lounge for Spotify and like the cover art was like this like very monochromatic, like it was her, it was like her, it was a
the
picture
Love
of
so
her
soft.
From like the Love So Soft video.
Yeah.
And it's just like white hat, you know, blank skin, whatever. I was going to basically recreate that, only I was going to put like the ranch cowboy hat on her head like she wore in the video that she shouted you out. I was going to make you a shirt that says, Pam, is that Pam? She's one of them.
You still can. You can totally make that so funny.
I want to make it so badly.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I never had the time to like actually sit down and like make it all happen. But, and
so
I didn't,
funny.
I was going to ask Rob, like, Rob, do you know Pam's shirt size? I have a little project I'm working on, but I still want to do that because it's still
so
one of my,
funny.
It's still one of my favorite moments.
Well, oh my God. I love that.
Speaking of pinch me Pam moments,
we
realized that you guys have done a pretty good job of like giving us the insider stories of a lot of the things that was on that list. But one I don't think we got into as much, and it's somewhat relevant here, is the karaoke with Kelly situation. So like, obviously, me and Rob were there for that moment in time, but kind of the backstory and sort of like your overall feelings about that. I mean, it kind of goes without saying, I bet, but.
Mine were sadness. I had sadness. I had regret. I had shame.
I mean, do you want background about like the whole, like how that whole night even came to be or just like that specific moment?
No, I think that the background, I think, would be fun for people.
Okay, so maybe about a week or so beforehand, someone from Atlantic reached out to us and was just like, hey, we're gonna have some sort of like some event the night before. It's for like the label and her team and like maybe a few fans. Like, it's going to be like a karaoke thing. Like, do you guys want to come? And sadly, Jeremy is like, I can't. And I'm like, sure. Can I bring anyone? And he originally said you could bring one person. So I was like, cool. Rob, what's up? You available?
Enter Rob.
And so basically they were just like, bring your singing voice. I'm like, oh God, I've already done really bad karaoke with Kelly once.
And this is, mind you, this is not the first time that we had been invited to a karaoke event.
Oh yeah.
By Atlantic. But for some reason, we couldn't make the first one. Obviously I couldn't, but you couldn't make the first one.
Because
we found out it was just going to be like a bunch of fans like singing karaoke.
This was bad. That was back in April. I remember it was a few days before we went out to LA, but we found out like the day before. I had a work event and I couldn't go. That's why it was just like a fan karaoke, which ended up turning into those like mine and me fan videos that are on YouTube right now.
Yep, that's what that was.
Yeah. So anyway, so that was that. And I was just like, I guess I'm going to go. I don't think I'm actually going to sing, but I'll be there. And they were like, oh, Kelly may be there for like one or two songs and we'll do a big toast and then she's leaving. I'm like, okay, this will be fun. I didn't really know what to expect. And then like a day or two beforehand, they reached out to me and they were like, we actually have a few more spots. So for more fans. And that's when I was like, Moni, hey, when can you get to town? Because I knew you were coming for the album signing the next day. So you were able to make arrangements. And I also gave our friend Kyle. I gave Kyle's name as well. And then they ended up, Atlantic ended up reaching out to a couple more fans on Twitter, like the day before, I think. So it ended up being like a good amount of fans there. And then we show up, they have, it's a small little like piano bar club thing, and they have very tiny, like you're packed like sardines there. They have a bunch of like Kelly inspired cocktails, like the Red Flag Collector, or I don't remember all the
favorite kind of rye.
Favorite kind of rye. That's right. That's right.
Had a bunch of those.
Yep. And yeah, so I think I went up on stage with Mikey and I forgot what we sang. It was some, I don't remember what it was, but we sang just, Moni, do you know?
I think it was Since You've Been Gone, but I could be wrong.
It might have been. Yeah. And then
Mikey
we got
really
off stage.
Likes that one, so.
And we got off stage, and then the next person went up. And while that next person was up, I think it was Hazel Eyes, Kelly walks in. And I'm like, oh, thank God she missed me. Thank the Lord she missed me. Because, like, as y'all know, I've said, I can't sing. Like, I don't have a good voice. So that was that. I don't think Rob wanted to go up initially. And then Moni was like, Moni, you wanted to do Breakaway, correct?
Yeah, because I know how much she does not liking that, like singing that, so I figured it would be kind of entertaining.
Right. So you signed up for Breakaway, and they called your name up, but someone had already done Breakaway. Well, they called up your last name, right?
Sort of. Amen. Amen. And I'm like, oh shit! I was so nervous. I put my last name in, so I get up there, and Kelly's like, "Is your name Amen? Amen?" I'm like. Actually, and then I just word vomit like God knows what. Like, I was so nervous. My name's actually Moni. And then Flat Meryl came up in Atlanta. And like every possible thing that I could have said to Kelly Clarkson in that moment came out all at once.
Within like a 30-second period.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yep. Pam, we had signed up to sing. We put our names in for Stronger because I was like, if I'm going to go up for any song, I'm going to pick a song that everybody's going to sing along to so that they don't hear my voice.
Oh, right, right, right.
And so then when Moni went up, they were looking for a song that hadn't been sung yet, right?
Yeah, and Wendy, the pianist, very kind lady, we all know her name because Kelly made sure we did.
Yes.
She's like, we just did Breakaway. Is there something else you'd like to sing? And she pulls up whatever software or internet thing they're using to gather like the submissions. And I see Rob, Pam, and Stronger. I'm like, oh, there is no way in hell I'm singing Stronger alone with Kelly Clarkson. We're bringing up Pam and Rob.
And I was like, Kelly, oh no.
I was like, Kelly, it's Pam from Miss Into Podcast. She's like, and then she's like, yeah, Pam from Miss Into Podcast and Rob, get up here.
Wait, she said that?
She said Pam from Miss she said Miss Into Podcast is here.
I did not hear that, but I will take your word. So we go up, we sing, it's a time. The one part that I can't believe I did, but she ended up laughing. So during the bridge, like the really high notes, I handed her the mic to do a solo. And this woman was so tired, but she did it and she nailed it. And then at the end, she was like, you gave me the hardest part. And then I can't believe I said this. I'm such an asshole. I was like, that's why they pay you the big bucks. And she laughed. But I was like, oh, God, why did I say that? But anyway. But yeah, the three of us sang and it was hilarious. And it was a moment and it was really fun. And I thank you, Moni, even though I initially was like, oh, God, it ended up being like a really core memory for me and will always be.
No,
and the video dies with us.
Yeah, that video is not getting posted.
Sure not.
Nope.
I still haven't even seen it.
Jeremy, we did miss you.
I mean, I was getting text messages like kind of the play by play as it was going on. And then I think you guys just all ended up having so many drinks that you decided to stop texting me. And even I have not seen the video of the performance.
We'll see. Good. You'll see it when we're in person together next.
Well, that's lame.
You'll just have to come to New York.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for the backdrop, Pam. I think that that was, I think the fans really, one thing I realized in some of the comments that we'll get to a little later is the fans really do like hearing about these crazy things that happen, but like hearing the backstories, like they really enjoy it and they really feel like they're with you when you tell these stories. So that's kind of why I wanted to highlight that one. And Rob, I think we picked another one.
We did. So Pam has her moment with Kelly and our moment, but Jeremy, I wanted to talk to you a little bit more about the live episode, because I really feel like that was your baby, like the planning of it and like the sort of like push for it to happen and like all that went into creating the live episode in Vegas.
Jeremy did so, by the way, like I helped. Jeremy really got like put this together. He was the one who contacted the venue and did all the logistics and did all the tech setup. I just was like there to talk and get some prizes together. Like Jeremy really, if it weren't for him, the live episode would never have happened. I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, thank you. You know, yeah, I mean, the live episode was super fun. I mean, the funny thing is I'm still to this day in September of 2023 dealing with the live episode. I'm going back and forth with like the parent company of Planet Hollywood.
We're all serious?
Trying to, oh yeah, we're still trying to figure out. They tried to double charge me for the room. Nobody cares, but I know it's fine. I'm dealing with it anyway. Okay. So I do have a story about the live episode and I don't know if we've told this or not. So I apologize if you're already hearing this story again, but so I am all about the show. I am all about like putting on a show, and there was what the live episode was going to be in my head. And then there was what it could actually be because of our budget. And obviously they were two very, very different things. But the one thing I wanted to do is I wanted to make a big entrance. I wanted to like unveil me and Pam for this live episode of a podcast that you can only listen to. But for those like, you know, 100 people that came, I wanted it to be a big deal. And so when we got to the little conference room, I'm like, this is perfect. There is another door that goes into like a back, like kind of access hallway that you can get to the other conference rooms. I'm like, as soon as we open the doors, Pam and I are going to go into this little back access hallway and we're just going to sit there and we're going to wait until our cue and then we're going to magically appear. Because when you watch The Price is Right, Drew Carey isn't sitting at the door like welcoming everybody. You know, when you go to a concert, you know, the artist isn't sitting there on the stage going, hi, everybody. Hi, come on in. Yeah, sit down, get your seats. No, they're in the back. They're in the wings. It's a show. And so we open the doors. We've got the music playing, which I also want to talk about.
Yes.
And, We're back there for not 2 minutes. And there's another guy. There's a guy who works for the hotel who's back there. And he's like, Pam and I get back there and we kind of stand there and he looks at us. We look at him. He's like, what are you doing? I was like, well, we're waiting for, you know, to be introduced in our event. He goes, you can't be back here.
We're like, and why? Why?
Well, I'll get there. Oh, I was like, I promise we're not going to touch anything. We're just going to stand right here. We'll be quiet. We promise. He goes, no, you can't be back here. You're both wearing open-toed shoes. we were both wearing sandals. And apparently it's some sort of OSHA violation that we couldn't be back with like heavy equipment. And so they made us leave. And so, of course, by this point, half of the room is already full. And so Pam and I have to like walk out in front of the room and be like, hey, everybody, hey. And so I was so pissed at this point because I'm like, that ruined our big unveiling. And so we end up going and we stand at like the front door where everyone's walking in and it turns into like a wedding reception. We're like, oh, thank you. Come on in. Yes, please sit down. You'll find your table with your table card at your, you know, I mean, it's like it ruined the whole like unveiling of it all. And then finally, Pam's like, should we just go in there and sit down? I'm like, no, there is going to be an introduction in the music that plays. And then we're going to walk in there like it's the first time everyone's seen us all weekend. And so, yeah, the intro played. Everybody clapped. I'm trying to like hype everybody up. I'm like, come on, make it louder for the microphone. And so we walk up to the stage and then we start the show. I was so like thrown off by that at the very beginning because I'm like, I wanted this big like unveiling. I mean, God, if I could have had like curtains or something or like a kabuki to drop, you know, in front of the stage, I would have. But nonetheless, we were on a tight budget for the show and we had to walk out like Pam and I had just gotten married or something. And we were like being introduced by the DJ.
Oh, and talk about the music that we worked so hard on.
Okay. So I got to see while I'm talking here, I got to vamp a little bit while I look up my notes. But what people I don't think realized, and for those of you who were not at the live episode, so we opened the doors at 11:30. The show started at noon. And at 11:30, we started playing a pre-made like playlist of songs. And the songs, every single one of them had some sort of meaning in the Kelly universe. But the problem was, is that it was just not loud enough. You know, because I didn't want to blow out everybody's ears, you know, trying to play this music.
Or some of it was maybe like a little too specific. Maybe it's a little too insider.
It was too niche, guys. I'm not going to lie. I didn't know half of what was happening.
And that's fine.
Should we list off the songs so people know?
Well, that's what I was trying to find here was I was trying to find the list of songs. I know I've got it somewhere. But so I know that I had a Graham Coulton Band song on there.
Cigarette, I think.
Yeah, it was Cigarette. We played Possum Kingdom by the Toadies, which is one of Kelly's favorite bands. That fact goes way back. And then let's see, what else did I play? I played Halo by Beyonce, which if you know the controversy, you know the controversy. This is where you're gonna have to start helping me, Pam, because I don't remember.
We played, which I think was kind of terrible for us to play. Bring Me to Life by Evanescence.
Oh yeah, had to play a little Ben Moody in there.
Yeah. Secondhand Heart.
Yes, Secondhand Heart.
Top Tier.
That's the only Kelly song, or at least Kelly vocal, that we played.
Pour Some Sugar on Me, I think.
Oh, no, it was You Shook Me All Night Long.
Yeah, You Shook Me All Night Long was right before the intro.
Didn't you do like the middle school?
Sweet Child of Mine. Sweet Child of Mine.
Yes, that was the one. Yeah, the one that she karaoke'd with middle school.
So very specific, like, yeah. So maybe we had a little too much fun and got a little too niche there.
Like, I know that our friend Nettie, who was sitting up near the front and who could hear it very well, she picked up on some of the songs, I know. But otherwise, yeah, I think everything else just kind of flew over everybody's heads. And that's fine because not everybody knows the history behind every single one of those songs.
Your idea was to have people like have it be conversation starters in the crowd as the songs are playing.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, right? I can't believe they're playing a Graham Coulton song. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And be like, isn't that weird? Like they're playing Evanescence. And isn't that like the band of the guy that Kelly used to date? Like I was hoping that each song would spark this whole, like, are you listening to these songs? All these songs have like a hidden meaning. Like I was very much like hoping that people would start clowning with us.
Yeah. Very sorry to disappoint you. That definitely.
Damn. We tried.
I was in the hallway. Otherwise I would have been like, hey guys, listen up. This song is about metal school.
Well, I think that, you know, the pre was very exciting, but I think one of the highlights for the live episode was those games. So Rob and Jeremy, I guess, I imagine there was some cross-planning that happened. So I really kind of want to know how you came up with these shenanigans. We won't make you relive your, you know.
It was all Rob. It was honestly, and our friends, Chelsea, Nicole, like Rob really orchestrated this.
It takes a village. I will say. Because, like, I don't want to always do the same three rounds of the game over and over again. Like, the word tennis and, like, the match game or the newlywed game style thing that we've played, I don't want it to always be the same thing because, like, people, it's like Groundhog's Day, right? So, like, in a live episode, I'm like, what are the fun things that we could do? And, like, for years at this point, we've had this idea to do Family Feud. And, like, the initial idea that I think Pam and I talked about years ago was to do, like, East Coast fans versus West Coast fans on Zoom. Yes. But, like, considering, like, figuring out how that would work, how do they confer with each other, sounded like a Zoom nightmare. So finally, the live episode, we're like, oh, we could finally do that thing that we've been talking about for years. And, like, what else can we do? So, like, people love the trivia. People love, like a ask the audience component. So thinking of, like, ways outside of the box to include as many people as possible. And then it just started snowballing from there. And thank God Chelsea and Nicole are, like, encyclopedias or, like, encyclocaldias. I don't know how you do it. But thank God for that, because, like, when my brain just, like, shuts down of, like, what could we possibly ask more questions about, they come up with incredible categories. And I do actually have a new category for another game.
When we amazing. Actually, amazing. Yeah. Hey. So we had, like, at least two or three, like, meetings to prep the game show stuff, like, which prizes are going to be with which ones and how are we, like, what the order, like, it was, there's a lot of, like, rehearsal that went into this.
I felt like this was a game show episode that, like, there was most anxiety about from, like, my perspective. And, like, maybe yours too.
Me too.
I was like, oh, I hope this goes well. And, like, the first question when, like, nobody knew it, I was like, oh no, it's going to get harder from here. How is this going to work? And I think people just didn't know what to expect. And then eventually, like, realized how, like, low stakes, like, this is a room with 100 people and we're asking questions about secondhand heart. Like, it's not rocket science. Yeah. And people sort of, you know, dropped their shoulders a little bit and, like, just leaned into the fun of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really amazing that you all let me do just the stupidest thing time after time.
With open arms.
No, just as a spectator, it was just so much fun to watch all of it happen. And the fans just were eating it up, like, left and right. There was nothing, like, Rob could do no wrong when he had the attention of the audience. Like, it was so fantastic. Yeah. I have no other words to say. It was just phenomenal.
I mean, look, Rob is a great personality. I mean, he is all personality.
Yes.
And, you know, he's very funny. He is very engaging, and it's his quizmaster ability plus his addition of humor that makes for a very engaging host. And so, you know, Rob has really been an unsung hero, and I don't mean to turn your whole episode around and you know,
it's not about thinking me. About
Rob, yes. But Rob has really been, you know, become a fan favorite every time he comes on. You know, people said, oh, we need more Rob. I mean, Rob saved the live episode from being, you know, just a boring other episode that just happened to have a studio audience. I mean, the reason that episode is so good and is so funny is because of Rob. The reason why we laugh so hard in that episode is because of Rob.
Yes.
Without that, there was probably going to be very little laughter, and it was just going to be me and Pam like, isn't this cool? Look what we're doing.
He is the favorite host, I am convinced.
Oh my God.
You are. You are the favorite host.
I very much secretly was hoping that this would become a Jeremy, Pam, and Rob appreciation episode. I'm not going to lie. It was my secret plan
the
whole time. So I think that was a really good, like, sneak behind the curtain for that particular episode that everyone thoroughly enjoyed. Having talked about all of these, like, ridiculous, objectively ridiculous things that have happened, I was kind of wondering, and I was thinking about this for myself, being in therapy myself, Pam. How do you think this, like, last 6 month period has changed your personal fandom for Kelly, if at all?
I guess, like, the fact that I became a fan of hers when I was so young, I feel like I always watched, like, you know, my peers, aka, like, Jeremy and Rob and a bunch of other people. Like, they were all, I always felt like the youngest one. And I think because of that, I did miss out on a lot of opportunities just because of my age, not being allowed to do certain things, whatever. So I always like admired, and it was, there was always a bit of, I hate to say this, a little bit of like envy that I got to see like all these people like travel to go see Kelly and have like friends that they can hang out with in person and go meet her. And I always thought it was like not attainable. And, you know, once I got to college and I started to, you know, be a little bit more independent, I was able to like dabble in that a little bit. But I think really having the podcast and just doing, especially the last couple of months, like I look back on like, you know, 12-year-old Pam, and like I would have never expected that I would have like some of my best friends would have come from being Kelly fans. And like it goes way past Kelly. It's not like we only talk about her. And I think that alone is so special that I've been able to really find my people. And I have her to thank for that entirely. And just the things that I've been able to experience that I don't take for granted for one second. But it's things that I, like, never in a million years would have even like crossed my mind. Like her knowing my name, her, me getting more than 2 minutes to talk to her. Like those are things I never expected to happen. Like I never, and I that's another thing I want to, like I'm always like so nervous. And again, that's why I'm in a lot of therapy right now. I'm always so anxious that like everything I'm doing, I'm like, oh my God, are people going to be super jealous? Or am I coming across as like, you know, like, oh yeah, like I'm the podcast person, this is going to happen, blah, blah, blah. And it's just, I don't know. I just want to reiterate, like, I am so grateful for everything that has come our way, and I don't take a second of it for granted. I don't really think I'm answering your question, but I just think that, like, kid Pam would be passing out right now, being like,
yeah,
what is going on? What? And, nope. like, everything that's happened, I'm like, it can go up from here. Like, there's more. And
yeah. Yeah.
Even now, I'm just like, what else is there that's going to happen? And I'm like, I don't know. That's the beauty of it. Like, for all of us fans, like, we don't know. There's going to be so many opportunities for all of us to experience. So I don't really know where I'm getting at with this, but it's just been so amazing.
One of the things I think that, first, Pam, completely agree. Like, the fact that we were, like, in a room, a tiny dive bar with her singing karaoke, like, people are like, is that a dream come true? I was like, that would imply that I could even dream that was possible, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. Totally.
So then the other part that I think you might at some level be thinking as well is, with all these things that have happened around this one singular entity, it's like, I kind of jokingly call us a cult of personality. And the fact that, and this is not, I am not at all serious about that. In most ways. But the one thing that I will say is, having been around the fandom now, like in the last few months with a lot of frequency, is that we all know that Kelly is a pretty genuine and kind and generous person. Like, that has held up over 21 years. And her fandom is that way. And there's something so reaffirming about being a fan of somebody and having that like ideal for that person, and then realizing that the people that have coalesced around her are the same. There's something, yeah, like there's a feedback loop about that, I think. And that might be some, like, deep down under everything you just said, that might be something that you're thinking. I don't know. But that's kind of how I've managed to put it all together.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I feel like, I can't say it's perfect because nothing's perfect. But I think generally speaking, like most fans, like there's not competition. It's just like, there's just like, you are happy for people. Like, I'm happy when I see people meeting band members in Vegas or whatever that might be, or I don't know, I can't really think right now, but like, I just think that's so special. And I think that's something that we're all, even like, you know, I don't know where I'm getting at with this, but we're all just like a really solid group of people. And I'm going to quote Moni on this. We chose the right person to be a fan of. Mm-hmm. I know you have said that, and I'm going to take, you know, you have the credit for that. We chose the right person to be a fan of, and I feel like she's been just such a great role model for us in some way or another.
I totally agree with that, because I think that the type of personality that the celebrity, or in this case, the musician, is attracts those kinds of people. And I agree completely that it has been getting together with the fans and meeting the fans of hers that has been one of the most rewarding things out of all of this. And even Vegas was like that experience on, you know, steroids, because we got to meet so many new fans. You know, it was great to see the old faces, you know, and the people that we've known for decades now, but it was also really awesome to meet new people.
And you know, you also get to, like, sorry to interrupt, but like, you also get to, like, not just like surface level, but some people you actually like get to know on a personal level as well.
Yeah.
And that's why I think what's really special.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, to sort of, you know, to your question, Moni, I think the thing that I have learned is that I have come to appreciate Kelly as an artist even more through the last 6 months. And I would even say, you know, over the course of the podcast as well, because, you know, we hear the things that people say about her process are things that you don't necessarily hear in the public all that much. We have an interview next week with DJ Form, a.k.a. Rick Robbins, who was her DJ on the All I Ever Wanted tour. And he reiterates some of this stuff in that, you know, I always just thought, oh, Kelly is this pop singer who, you know, gets songs handed to her, you know, and occasionally she writes songs and, you know, ends up, you know, on an album, blah, blah, blah. That's so very surface level. Like, that could not be more surface level of what actually happens. The fact that when Kelly writes a song, she has the song nearly completely constructed in her mind, melody, choruses, bridge, everything. She knows how it's supposed to sound in the end. And so she is so underrated with just how good of a musical mind she really is. She gets all the credit for being a kind person and for being an incredible vocalist, but she really has a very impressive musical mind. And then on top of that, she surrounds herself with extraordinary people. And I think that, you know, learning more about the people that sing the praises of Jason Halpert, I mean, that guy is smarter than he gets credit for. I mean, he is, you know, approaching, I mean, because I don't want to, you know, throw this word around like I'm, you know, being a little flippant, but like, he's approaching genius level on his music abilities. I mean, the guy knows his stuff and he knows it inside and out. And it's been so great to watch his progression over the years. So getting to sit down and talk with people about the process rather than, like, you know, the surface level, you know, E! Entertainment, People Magazine type of questions that they get asked a million times, we get to ask the really deep rooted questions and we get to learn more about these musicians and these artists. And that has been the most satisfying thing for me, because I am such a music nerd and, you know, a musicologist that I love the nitty gritty. I mean, I don't care about, you know, so, you know, what was it like, you know, to, you know, go through these processes of writing your song, like, or, you know, whatever these, you know, questions that people who don't know the ins and outs have to ask, because that's who they're catering to. We get to cater to an audience that is so ingrained and they already know all the surface level stuff. We don't have to tell them that she wrote Because of You when she was 16. They know that. We want to know, like, where, you know, what color was the notebook that she wrote it in, you know?
Oh my God.
Like, I mean, that's a bad example.
Yeah.
But it's a good example of, like, the kinds of questions we ask. We don't care about the other stuff. Everybody already knows that. Tell us the stuff that we don't know. And we get to ask those questions to Kelly and to the people that surround her.
That's actually a perfect transition to what's next, because I created a Google form that I had to send out secretly to our listeners, because I don't want you to see the questions. I don't want you to read what I was asking people. And, you know, we got, like, a resounding, overwhelming response from listeners.
Oh my gosh.
One of the questions might have been boxer briefs. Just saying.
Wait, what? That's hilarious.
We like to learn. So I asked people, like, what has been, like, their favorite part of this podcast, favorite moments of this podcast. And then I tried to, like, combine it into themes.
Before Rob gets to that, the reason that Rob has to condense this down into themes is because we get such an overwhelming response that we can't read everything. And there is something in the works that I will not speak to more. But I just wanted to give you the disclaimer as to why Rob is having to do themes and not just read off certain things that fans wrote back. Continue.
Yeah, what so you can't you can't do this. You can't keep coming back to this well and being like, oh, and by the way, here's another episode where you might cry.
Like, do we have to do that more time? Okay.
If anybody didn't get to fill out the form and would like to, please reach out to me. I'm happy to send it. I'm happy for you all to share your love for our hosts. So the theme that sort of like bridges between what Jeremy was saying and this next part is people love to learn on this podcast. You know, it's been a good opportunity for like news and nostalgia to sort of meet. You know, people have said that in addition to it being a good place to catch up on news and updates, it's also been really a good outlet to remember back on eras and moments and performances, especially for fans who weren't there the first time. So I wanted to ask you just briefly, what's your thought process when creating content for newer fans who weren't there during every era, for example?
Well, and it's funny that you mentioned that, because the episode that's coming out next week is our breakdown of the All I Ever Wanted tour. And, you know, I know that there are a lot of newer fans who have just, you know, sort of jumped on to the Kelly train as of, you know, the Piece by Piece album or even Meaning of Life. And I love being able to go back and paint the picture of what life was like in, say, 2009. You know, here's what was happening that led us up to these moments. And then here's what these moments were like. I mean, look, you know, we're dealing with an artist who has over two decades of material to deal with. And so, you know, we're talking a lot about nostalgia. You know, Pam and I have mentioned many times that Kelly's tours are going to start being a little more like greatest hits shows, because that's the catalog that she leans on now. And I love talking about the old days, as it were, because they were great. They were fun. I mean, I have fond memories that go all the way back to the independent tour. And I love sharing those memories with people. And I love hearing people's stories about where they were when they got to experience fun things. You know, because we just recorded the episode, but we reference an episode that we did in our first season about the All I Ever Wanted pre-shows. I didn't get to go to one of those. Pam didn't get to go to one of those. And so we had on two guests who did go, and they got to share what it was like to be in the room. And so I understand when people didn't go to tours or they didn't go to shows, and getting to hear what it was like to be in that position. I love doing that. So I completely agree with people when they say that it's fun to hear about things that they didn't necessarily get to be a part of.
I'm jumping around a lot just because I keep seeing things that I skipped, and you keep transitioning to them perfectly. So let's talk a little bit about the like people's favorite things about the podcast, favorite moments, because people really loved fan perspectives, like you just mentioned, fan POVs. People love the my Kelly experiences. One person loved the From Justin to Kelly rewatch that we did. So thanks for that.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Roundtables. People said getting to hear some fun behind the scenes things from the band, getting to learn more about each other and people that I've quote unquote known for 20 years has been a great way for us all to connect.
Oh, that's so nice.
I like that.
So talking about connection, people really love the sort of community that's been built around this podcast. Somebody said that this podcast made me realize that it's totally fine to be a huge fan of Kelly Clarkson, and there's no stigma behind it. The fan stigma episode really resounded with that person as well. So what has been sort of your reaction to the Twitter engagement that you found from your podcast?
There is nothing that I am more proud of with this podcast than the community that we built around it. And it was the one thing I didn't expect. I thought we were just going to get on here, talk about Kelly, talk to fans. And I knew it wasn't going to be like a completely one-sided conversation. I knew we were going to have interactions with people. what I did not expect was the swell of people, especially on social media, who sort of banded around the podcast, and we get included on so many different conversations with people. People just bring us in on conversations, or they want to know our opinions completely outside of an episode that we've done. They're just talking about something else, but they bring us in on the conversation. And that was the most unexpected part. I didn't know that that was possible. I thought it was just going to be the Kelly community, the fan community. But we started to notice after, I don't know, it was maybe a year and a half, that there were people that were podcast fans. And that became a community that continues to grow. And it is the most satisfying and humbling thing to have people who are meeting each other, who are conversing, who are connecting because of our podcast. They may have had a love of Kelly. They may have never connected themselves, but it was the podcast that brought them together. And that is a very strange thing to try to put your head around, that you are somewhat responsible for that.
Yeah.
And that's the part that gets me emotional when I talk about the podcast, is the people who have banded around the show. And, you know, I will always say that Pam and I are not any more special than anyone else who loves Kelly and her music. We are just simply vessels. We are simply the ones who stood up and said, we will grab a microphone and we will talk to everybody, not at everybody. We will talk to everybody. We will talk with everybody. And the response to the show has been the most unexpected thing. You know, I thought this was, quite honestly, it was a little more of a selfish thing at the very beginning, because I needed something. I needed to talk to people. I needed to communicate with people. And the amount of comments that have come from others who said, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm not directly quoting anybody, but for all intents and purposes, they're saying, I needed this podcast. I needed this community. That is very powerful to hear. And I don't take it for granted a single day, which is all the more reason why I want to put every best effort into this show.
That was so well said. I'm not even going to bother say anything.
But it actually does bring me into our next theme, because for everything you said, people sort of mirrored back everything that you said and, you know, agreed with it. The podcast really has created a sense of belonging for many people. And a lot of people said that they don't remember what life was like before the podcast started.
I don't either.
It's become more than something to just look forward to every week. It's given people a sense of community, that you're not the only one. You know, it's given people a group of friends to sort of glom onto on online and in real life. The podcast has connected fans and brought them together in new ways. And a lot of people mentioned how this community feels reinvigorated, because we're not on a message board anymore. We're not on chat rooms anymore. We're not on AIM anymore, but we're here now. And it's because of the work that you've done. And it's reinvigorated us as a community in a way that was so unexpected.
That's so special to hear, because that was my big goal the whole time. Like, Jeremy, as I know, a lot of it was just, you know, I mean, I don't want to speak for you, but I know like your bigger long-term goals were like maybe getting guests on, the guests, the fans, that sort of thing. My thing was making the community, because that's always something that I've been yearning for and wanting more of. So
I'm the first one to get misty-eyed.
Oh,
that's going to break Pam.
Oh, it's going to.
But here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a brief break from emotional things and just talk about people's favorite moments.
Okay.
Happy things. Well, it's all happy, but like,
yes,
silly things. Okay.
Yeah.
People loved Vegas. There was a resounding response from people who were not there, which is cool. And people who were there, obviously it's everybody's favorite episode for a reason, because it was fun. But somebody said, I wasn't there in person, but hearing everybody gathered together for our common love for Kelly, as well as for the podcast, made me truly realize the impact of this show on all of us as Kelly fans.
Stop. This is so nice.
Okay, another fan favorite was when Kelly surprised you on the podcast, obviously, but not because of Kelly, but because you both told her to shut up. Hearing Pam tell Kelly to shut up and Jeremy tell her to shut her damn mouth. But in a nice way, in a nice way, somebody said, seeing the momentum build for the podcast and watching Pam and Jeremy just keep doing what they're doing until Kelly and her team took notice was a really fun full circle moment for all of us.
Yeah. We just keep doing it.
And kind of in equal measure, people love Kelly, but people loved me. People love one another.
Of course they do. Of course they love Rob.
Told you.
I don't know. Me and Kelly, kind of neck and neck.
Yeah, I get it. You're on the same caliber. I feel like you two would be really good friends.
Hey, Miss into Robcast, coming soon.
The spinoff.
But that is to say that people love the games that we've created. People really like listening to those. They loved Chelsea's epic comeback.
Sorry, Miss into Robcast.
Miss into Robcast. They loved Chelsea's epic comeback during the Don't Let Me Stump You. And people really enjoyed when Nicole asked Pam if she was drinking a beer at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Which is like, that someone actually wrote that? That's hilarious. So they would probably think that now, although the iced tea is basically gone. It's iced tea. I don't drink beer. I've had multiple people ask me this because I drink a lot of like black tea.
I would have never thought you were drinking beer out of a Dunkin' cup, but okay.
I don't know. Some people think that. That's really funny.
I do
funny
love
that
it was kept into the episode.
I love this guy.
Maybe Dunkin' has a Dunkin' Reserve like Starbucks does.
Maybe.
There you go.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That's funny.
But the games, thinking about the games, people also really like to learn on this podcast. And, you know, learn through all different ways. Album breakdowns, the Belasco first impressions. People loved that episode because you made us feel like we were there.
We were so delirious.
That's fine. You know what?
That was one of our biggest episodes. I mean, that absolutely took off. And I was pleasantly surprised by that. I mean, people were excited to hear that episode.
Thank you, Moni. And thank you, Nettie.
Yes.
Delirium is a sexy thing, I'm going to say.
Apparently.
that's why I wish one day that I can release the episode that Pam and I did, because we did another Delirium episode in Los Angeles. It was the night after night two of the Belasco. We were sitting in my room. We're like sitting crisscross applesauce on my bed, just with, you know, staring at each other. And Pam is like half asleep. And we're just trying to like say our thoughts about, you know, everything that we had experienced that day. The problem is that there's so much of it that we have to cut out because we're still not allowed to talk about until everything gets released, that the context would all be lost. So it wouldn't make any sense. But I hope I get to release that someday.
We'll see.
Pam's sexy bedroom voice.
Gosh. Not at all.
So yeah, people love to learn. People love to kind of reflect back and remember things. We have some listener questions, and we're just going to pick like one or two because people submitted 70 questions.
Oh my God.
I know. Moni, do you have a question that you want to pick from here first?
Actually, I'm going to do a really fun one to completely shift gears. If you were to be cast as the two leads in the live for TV remake from Justin Kelly, what scene would you be most excited about performing and why?
Oh my God, that's incredible.
It's the hovercraft race, full stop.
Oh.
I will absolutely mop the floor with a TV version of Justin on the hovercraft race.
Mine would be the madness scene because I want to push Jeremy in the pool. Yeah, and I want to...
Oh, crap. Wait, are we cast as Justin and Kelly in this show? Is that... Because if that's the... Oh, darn, I can't be in the hovercraft race.
No, because who's going to play Luke? Rob. Rob, you'll play Luke.
Oh, I just assumed I was Carlos because I'm Cuban.
Okay, or that. Okay, that's fair.
I'm the only one who can salsa in the Zoom room.
That's true.
Oh, man. What scene do I want to be in? Oh, okay, well, then it's got to be the timeless boat sequence.
Except I would be puking during that.
Yeah. Because Pam can't be on the boat.
I'm not good on boats.
All over her white tracksuit.
And my- I could be the one.
Oh my God. That was a great question.
I like that.
It always gets weird when I'm on, so I'm happy that it continued.
I love that.
Okay. Somebody asked, since we know Kelly is competitive, if you could play one game with her, what would you want to play with Kelly?
Oh my gosh.
Honestly, something that I pride myself on being really good at, I would love to do like a name that tune with her. And it could be like any music, not necessarily hers. It could be anything. I'm pretty good at name that tune. So that's my answer.
I want to play Pictionary.
Ooh.
Pictionary. Are you a secret artist we didn't know about?
I actually used to draw when I was a kid. So I could probably do pretty well. But I want her on my team, though. I don't know if I want to play. I never want to play against Kelly Clarkson in any game. I want to be on her team because she is way too competitive.
I want to play against her. I honestly would have loved to be that like fan in the iHeartRadio thing. That like, who knows Kelly more, Kelly or the fan? I would have loved to do that.
I just want the ability to talk trash against Kelly Clarkson because I feel like she's pretty good at talking trash, but I'm pretty good at it myself. So.
Hey.
I'm very competitive in games, so I think she and I would match energy really well.
Yes.
Okay, somebody asked, are there any interviews that really surprised you besides Kelly, like learning something unexpected or something that they said that really resonated with you?
Man, it's like every interview we do.
We get some nuggets.
Especially with somebody in her camp, there's always something new that we didn't know. And that includes, you know, the interview that you're going to hear next week. There was stuff that we had no idea that just blew our minds. I mean, look, the first thing I always think of is, you know, Jason Halbert interviews. He always comes armed with like these nuggets of knowledge that either we didn't know or he sort of debuts the information on the show. And
AKA the deluxe album.
Yeah. Where we hang up with our, you know, our guest. And then Pam and I go, oh my God, can you believe he said that?
We had to gatekeep that since May.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it was, it's usually a Jason interview. He's always got something, you know, that crazy that just, you know, you don't see coming.
Or the one that the real recent one for me, the surprising one was the one that we had with John Valencia with all that like Idol backstory. I didn't know any of that, and no one did. So I thought that was like a crazy little like news drop for us.
That was a wild. That was a wild story.
Yeah.
As people's reactions started coming out to that episode, I was in Disney World and I went back to my hotel to listen to the episode because I couldn't wait until I was.
The impact of Twitter.
And look, if it's strong enough to get Rob away from Magic Kingdom, man, woo.
Ooh, we have That's impact right. on you.
Yeah,
sure do. So all that to wrap up my section here, just to say that the last theme is really just gratitude and pride. I'm going to actually read a quote from our friend Garrett to wrap it up. He said,
I love Garrett.
I know, we all do. He said, one day I will run a Miss Into Podcast podcast where I will discuss all things Jeremy and Pam. Hopefully by then the words will exist that describe the impact you've had on Kelly Clarkson's fan base. We love you and we are so thankful for your dedication and spirit. Also, very proud of everything you do and you have accomplished in such a short amount of time. Keep up the great work. Pretty please.
Now I'm getting misty-eyed. Oh,
and I will co-host that podcast with Garrett, by the way.
Oh my God, I will be yes. tuning in. That should be like a Patreon exclusive for us.
There you go. Thank you, Garrett. That was so nice.
Yeah. Garrett it gave me the biggest hug in Vegas, and generally I hate hugs, but that was a solid hug. And just the warmest, kindest human to have interacted with unexpectedly. Okay, so we're going to wrap everything up with this question that I think both of you have really alluded to, but I think having one final go at it in a formal way would be helpful, which is, you know, do you still view this as a hobby? And if not, what do you think it's sort of become for you? Like,
oh man, I mean, it definitely still is a hobby, but it is also like kind of a job because like there have been, I mean, I don't even know if I've told Jeremy this, but like there have been times throughout the podcast where I've just been wanting to be like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. And it has nothing to do with the podcast itself. It's really more like my bandwidth. Because there is a lot of work that goes behind the scenes. It's not just like, oh, we record for an hour or two a week and then he edits it and then we post it and that's that. There's a lot of preparation work that goes into it. It takes a while for Jeremy to edit. I spend a disgusting amount of time on social media trying to do like a lot of engagement and talk to y'all and do all that stuff. And I love it. But it's a lot when you also like have a full-time job and are trying to like also like live your own life. So it's a lot of work. So at this point, like I know if, like if we just had like a little old hobby, we can stop it whenever. But like this, I know we can't just like get up and stop. Like that would probably not fly for a lot of people, which is amazing. So it's definitely turned into a bit of a labor, but I adore it so much. And I'm happy to put in all this work week after week because I love Kelly. I love you guys. I love the whole Kelly community. It's funny. Jason, literally, when we saw him in Vegas, he was like, so when are you guys going to start monetizing? And I was like, it was really funny he said that. We were like, I never thought we'd had to get to a point where we'd even have to have this conversation. So I don't know. But
that's actually a question that came up a lot, too. People really want merch.
So like we've been talking about it. We have a lot. The two of us have a lot to talk about because even aside from merch, we've been talking about like maybe we can do some like listener exclusives because, you know, like out of my bank account, like I'm spending like $20 a month to host the podcast on like the Spotify's alone, and you know we also pay for hosting the website. Like there are it's not a lot of cost, but you know $20-25 a month it adds up when you have zero income from this. So. We've been talking about ways, very low lift, like we're talking like $3, $5 sort of thing of maybe what kinds of exclusives we can also incorporate. The podcast will always be free, don't get me wrong, but we're thinking like maybe like extras. So, which is again, nothing. 3 years ago, I was just excited just to start the podcast. That was just a true little hobby. And now we're like, oh, it's actually something. It's definitely turned into more of like a job, but it's a job that I actually have a passion for. And that feels really nice.
I think I would say that it's turned from passion project into labor of love.
Yeah.
And, you know, there has never been a week that has gone by that I'm thinking to myself, you know, I just simply do not have time for the podcast. It is more like I need to make time for the podcast because I started wanting to do this because it was going to be fun. And the minute that it's no longer fun for me, then, you know, that's when we kind of start to have dark conversations. But it has never not been fun. You know, yeah, like Pam said, there's a lot of work that goes into doing the podcast. And, you know, we both spend our own money to keep it, you know, afloat in certain areas. And, you know, I have always hated the idea of the podcast having, you know, commercials and stuff in it. But, you know, we get hit up all the time. From, you know, our vendors or, you know, even occasionally somebody who wants to sponsor. And I've always tried to, you know, keep the podcast as clean as we possibly can because I don't want to, you know, look like we're doing this to make money to, you know, like get rich off of it. I mean, there are definitely people who are out there who are in a podcast to make money and it's their job. You know, we do this because we love Kelly. We love her music. We love her artistry and we love the fans and we love the community that we built. And I want, above all else, I want to keep that trust with the community. And so the little bit that, you know, Pam and I both pay each month is worth it. Now, that said, would it be great to have a little bit of relief from that? Absolutely. And this is where I get to sort of say, you know, a little bit of thank yous to a lot of people who I won't name because, you know, a lot of times we are gifted things that help us do things for the podcast anonymously.
Yep.
There, I mean, I've lost count of the number of people who have provided prizes for us to give away. And they say, I don't want you to give my name. Just give this away. You know, I'm going to buy you an extra such and such. Give this away. And the amount of people that have done that has just blown my mind.
You know, the fact that people are so generous and so giving in a time when, you know, everybody is, you know, keeping an eye on, you know, every nickel and dime that comes in. The fact that people do that for us and for the community and for Kelly, you know, in a secondary way, is just so incredible. It is so unbelievable. So I want to say thank you to all of the people who have ever helped us in any sort of way, whether it be, you know, whether it was Vegas or with prizes or you name it. You are all part of the reason why we do what we do and the reason why we give 100% every single time, you know, we do a podcast. I think I've sort of probably veered away from the original question and I apologize, but I'm so grateful for all of this. And again, the minute that it stops being fun is the minute that, you know, I can say, you know, I'm going to walk away. And I, which is a terrible pun, I've just realized. And honestly, I don't even know if I could say, you know, oh, this is the end of Missing the Podcast. I would be like, who wants to pick up the baton?
Yeah.
You know, because it also feels like in a lot of ways, you know, we say a lot that this is our podcast, but this is really your podcast.
It's a fan podcast.
We've always said that it's the Kelly Clarkson fan podcast, and that is not a way to brand it, but it's more of a way of reminding us that this is not the Jeremy and Pam podcast. This is the Kelly Clarkson fan podcast. This belongs to all of us. And so I just hope it continues to do that. And yeah, let's explore some fun stuff that we can do down the road, whether it be a Patreon or bringing on additional people to help us out when it comes to managing social media, because my God, I would be lost without Pam. I simply don't have the time and the bandwidth to do the social media. I mean, Pam is the reason really why there is a big community around, because she's the one who's the heartbeat of our social media. I mean, she is our social media. And then occasionally I jump on there and I say something and she goes, did you post that? That's usually what happens.
I'm like, you tagged it wrong.
you tagged it wrong. Like, let me get in there. Here, let me give me your hand. Let me show you how to do this. I mean, I couldn't do this without Pam. I mean, pure and simple. She is the partner anyone could dream of for an endeavor
likewise,
like this.
Likewise, and without Jeremy, we wouldn't have an episode because I don't know how to edit anything.
So it's a good give and take between the two of us. And again, you know, if it weren't for the Kelly's fans, this would be all for naught. And so I hope I answered the question to the best of my ability there.
Absolutely. What a beautiful way to wrap up. You know, Pam is the heartbeat. Our hearts do go pam, 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 pam. But it's the two of you. It's the it's the community that's been built because of the two of you. And so I hope this episode just helped you realize a little bit more, or made it sort of like thrown in your face as clearly as possible that we love you. We're so grateful for you. We're so proud of you. And we just can't wait to see where it goes next. And just thank you, thank you, thank you for creating this sort of corner of the internet where we all feel seen and we all are allowed to say the stupidest things in the world, and it's okay. Like every time I'm on, we're just, thank you. We're grateful to both of you and we love you.
Thank you, Rob. I can only echo most of what you said. Thank you for always being willing to tolerate my shenanigans when I show up on the podcast. But to take it outside of like the two of us, I think I say this pretty much every time, but I don't think even an episode like this would be able to fully articulate just what this show means to people. It came at a time where a lot of us needed something positive and something like that we were so excited about to, you know, frankly, just get out of the doldrums of what was going on in the world. And the fact that it continues and just grows is a testament to the work that you guys put in. And as a fan from essentially day one, the pride and gratitude for the work you put in, it's just like, I don't think I can say it in any way. So I think we both just wanted to leave you with just our eternal gratitude. and I think we can say this without overstepping, like on behalf of the fandom of the podcast and not just Kelly.
Oh my God, guys, that's so sweet.
Did you cry yet?
I'm tearing up right now.
Yes, we did it.
Thank God. I was worried man. Rob was going to get mad.
Sure would.
Guys, that was so nice. I don't know, have any more time. I don't know. I'm like kind of speechless. I don't know. I it's funny. Rob texted me the other day and he was like, Jeremy's had all these like grand big goals and everything, and Pam is still not convinced people listen to the podcast. And I still sometimes I'm not convinced people actually listen. I'm kidding. But it just really means a lot that people listen, people take time out of their day to listen to us, to interact with us. And we put in so much time into this, and it's just so nice that we've been able to like find like-minded people like us and share this love that we have. And Jeremy and I would not be here if people didn't listen. We would not be. And so thank you for giving us the opportunity and for giving us the platform to speak and to have, I don't know, share this love with y'all. It really means the world to me. And I know I'm not speaking eloquently right now, but I know I'm going to like listen back on this when I upload it tomorrow and I'm going to start bawling. And I don't know. I will. And I thank the two of you so much for getting this together. The two of you for spending so much time giving a crap about the two of us to even put this episode on, that just speaks volumes to you two. And I appreciate you guys so much. And thank you, Jeremy, for bringing me on board. Like, I am so happy that you thought of me to do this, because I didn't know how much I needed this.
I am not good at taking compliments, so this episode has been really hard.
Same.
This has been really hard for me to just sit here and listen to all this.
I feel like you're like gaslighting us. I'm like, do you really feel that way though? Do you really feel that way? Yeah.
I just want to, I'm that guy from the TikTok. You sure about that? You sure about that?
So you agree. You think you're really pretty.
So I've wanted to just absolutely crawl in a hole for the last like hour and a half. So thank you everyone for the kind compliments. And Rob and Moni, if it's not too much to ask, I would love to see, you know, your files that you got from people, because everyone took time to write something and I want to make sure that it's seen. So I would love to be able to see what everybody wrote. And I will just go ahead and thank everybody ahead of time for the kind words. You know, like what Pam said, you know, this is nothing without you guys. We appreciate each and every one of you, and we appreciate the kind words that you say. We, like I said, we are just simply the vessels for all of this. I mean, we have had some very interesting and unique perspectives and opportunities, but we like to think that we are simply there to bring everybody else along with us. And we will share every moment of those experiences with you, because we want you to feel like you were there as well. And we hope that we have more of those experiences, and we hope that we see more of you at these experiences, at these shows, at these events, because it's fun to be there and see Kelly do her thing, but it's just as much fun to see all of you and to know that we're all in this shared experience together. And that's sort of, you know, my two big words about this podcast are shared experience. We are just simply the ones with the microphones, and that doesn't make us any better than anybody else. We're just the ones that you can hear, I suppose. So thank you seems inadequate, but thank you.
And you would have been such tools if you'd hosted this episode yourselves.
Oh man. And just one last thing before we do wrap up, Jeremy, regarding your request for the information we collected, there is something in process, so you will get it, but it will not be today or tomorrow, and frankly, it might be a few weeks, to be honest.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
That's fine.
Oh, boy. So. I'm curious. I know Moni's love of getting things made. That's all I have. I have no idea where this is going, but I can only suspect. Anyway, before I ruin anything, possibly, let's wrap up the episode. So that was our kickoff for season 4. Thank you so much, Rob. Thank you so much, Moni, for doing all this. Like,
you guys are the best.
From the bottom of our hearts, we love you so much.
And we love all of you guys listening. And thank you for contributing to the episode. We'll eventually see all your answers and stuff to that. Not today, as we heard, but eventually we will. As always, my little spiel. If you listen on the Spotify app, please consider leaving us a rating there. You can also leave comments on our individual episodes. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving us a rating and review. And yes, next week we'll be back with our All I Ever Wanted tour breakdown episode, as well as a very special interview with Rick Robbins, aka DJ Form. And hope you guys have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you soon. Bye.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Miss Into Podcast. Miss Into Podcast was written and produced by Jeremy and Pam. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you'll be the first to know when a new podcast is posted. Find us and continue the conversation at Miss Into Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Find more at missintopodcast.com.